This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Healthy Aging, providing you with the unique energy support of Pure NT Factor. NT Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. NT Factor from Nutritional Therapeutics repairs damaged cells and restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT Factor for years with a 45-day money-back guarantee of nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158. That's 800-982-9158. Or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine, another hour of the weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine, wherein we answer your questions. Your questions come to us via radio program at AOL. I'm sorry. That's emailed questions. You can email us questions to radioprogram@AOL.com. We'll use those as grist for the mill for our weekly Q&A with Layla podcast, which is one of our popular podcasts. By the way, I will share with you some very, very exciting information. You're listening to this program either via the radio or perhaps you're listening to it subsequently when we turn it into a podcast. But we've reached a very, very impressive milestone just this week. We have exceeded a total of 7 million individual downloads of our Intelligent Medicine podcast. Just happened this week, and we're very excited that all you out there are downloading, not just the weekend content, which is this, but also our weekday content, our Q&A with Layla, our great interviews, Layla's individual nutrition podcasts. They all up to a grand total of 7 million downloads since our inception a couple of years ago. And that means there's a great deal of interest in Intelligent Medicine. We want to thank our listeners and keep on downloading. And we promise to deliver you content that hopefully will make a difference for you and your loved ones and those for whom you share this vital information. 877-726-8255 is our number, and that's the number where you can also record a question. We'll take some of those questions momentarily, but this is a very interesting story, which I will file under the heading of Use It or Lose It. Headline: Having sex linked to earlier, I'm sorry, having less sex linked to earlier menopause, or conversely, having sex linked to a delay of menopause. This is an amazing study because they detailed the frequency with which women engaged in sexual activity, which includes sexual intercourse, oral sex, merely sexual touching and caressing, or even self-stimulation. And they found that women who reported engaging in sexual activity at least weekly, that's not asking a lot, were 28% less likely to have experienced menopause at any given age. Now, I will point out that there may be a little bit of a chicken and egg aspect to this, because if you were about to undergo menopause, maybe have a little less interest in having sex. But there may be something biological going on, because they say here in the interpretation, the first author in the study, PhD candidate Megan Arnott, who is one of the lead researchers on the study, says, "The findings of our study suggest that if a woman is not having sex, and therefore there's no chance of pregnancy, then the body chooses not to invest in ovulation, as it would be pointless. It's a waste of time. No sex, no need for ovulation. there may be a biological energetic trade-off between investing energy into ovulation and investing elsewhere. And here's what is called the grandmother hypothesis. There may be a trade-off between investing energy into ovulation and having sex and investing elsewhere, such as keeping active by looking after grandchildren. This is known as the grandmother hypothesis, which, by the way, doesn't preclude the possibility that if you're a grandmother, you know, it's like you got a, it's an either or. It's not a zero sum game. You know, it's like give up sex, you can become a grandmother. No. But the idea that women seize fertility in order to invest more time in their family is known as the grandmother hypothesis, which predicts that the menopause originally evolved in humans to reduce the reproductive conflict between different generations of females, and allow women to increase their inclusive fitness through investing in the grandchildren. It's kind of an interesting hypothesis, the idea that, you know, if women were fertile throughout their lives, it'd be like, I don't have time for my grandkids. I'm too busy having sex. I'm having a good time. I don't have time to take care of the grandkids. That's sort of the basis for the grandmother hypothesis. They say that the research is based on collecting information from nearly 3,000 women. The average age for the first interview was 45. Interviews were carried out over a 10-year follow-up period. And what they found is that women who had less sex were more likely to undergo menopause. Women who continued to be sexually active were 28% less likely to experience the menopause compared to those who had sex less than monthly. So there you go. You know, it's a grandma hypothesis. All right. you want to call in with any comments on that? Hot new story, 877-726-8255. Let's talk to Carrie in Westchester, New York. How you doing?
Hi, doctor. Good. How are you?
Good. Very well. Thanks.
Long-time listener.
Thank you.
My vitamin D3 level dropped in a year from 54 to 29.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the things that could cause that? I was diagnosed a year ago with pancreatitis. I've been under surveillance.
Yeah, that's a clue. Thanks for the clue. Okay, here's the deal. So what you're saying is all things being equal, your consumption of supplementary vitamin D remained the same, your exposure to sunlight remained the same, and you're saying all of a sudden you went from 54 to 29, right?
Correct.
Okay. And by the way, 29 is not horrendous. It is suboptimal, but it's not horrendous.
Okay. Lowest that I've been.
That's the lowest you've been. Okay, so here's a couple of theories. It has been demonstrated that there's a correlation between inflammatory disorders, of which pancreatitis is a type. Any kind of itis is inflammatory. Rheumatoid arthritis, ulcerative colitis, dermatitis. These are all inflammatory disorders. And so it may be because of the pancreatitis that your vitamin D dropped. It's almost like the body needs vitamin D to fight inflammation. It gets consumed by inflammation and you see lower levels. The other thing is the pancreas is involved in digestion. And vitamin D is a fat-soluble nutrient, and it's possible that your underproduction of pancreatic lipase its lowered availability in the digestive tract because the pancreas is messed up has resulted in inability to digest and absorb fat-soluble nutrients like vitamin D. That's another possibility there. So vitamin D is not contraindicated in pancreatitis. It's not like you can't take a little more. So I would hike up your what are you taking? What's your daily intake of vitamin D?
Probably total with everything, all my supplements, et cetera, protein drinks, probably about 4,500 I use.
Okay, which is fine for most people to maintain adequate levels of vitamin D. But you could go a little higher. You could maybe double up on weekends, you know, Saturday and Sunday, or pick 2 days of the week and, you know, take, twice that amount. Take 10,000. And, you know, get tested in about to 6 months. Make sure you're not going overboard. And you should be fine. I mean, it just may be a matter of you having a higher requirement for vitamin D during a time when your body's challenged by the pancreatitis. We see that a lot.
Do you recommend that I take more than one MK7 a day?
On the theory that you know, your fat-soluble nutrients are vitamin A or retinol, vitamin D, vitamin K, vitamin E, and then also the essential fatty acids. You know, things like, you know, the omega-3, DHA, and EPA. And in other circumstances, vitamin D may be a marker for your lack of ability to digest and absorb fat-soluble nutrients. So it's possible you could take a little more vitamin K, a little more of the other nutrients that I mentioned, the fat solubles. Yeah, because under the circumstances, you know, patients with pancreatitis, like really severe pancreatitis, they have problems with fat-soluble nutrients. They malabsorb, and they may even have what's called steatorrhea, which is, you know, like fatty, kind of an oil slick in the toilet. That's like an extreme form of pancreatitis. They just don't absorb fat-soluble nutrients very well. They need, a different form of micellized vitamin E and D, and, you know, these nutrients need to be in a form that's better absorbed. But I think in your case, the ordinary form of vitamin D will work for you. So I don't think you need to go there with the micellized forms, which would be better for people with really severe malabsorption. You know, your pancreas is hardly working at all.
I don't have that problem with my stool, but I am seeing my physician on Tuesday, and I want to know how to approach the subject with him.
Very delicately, because this is the final thing I'm going to say because we're running a little short on time. But you got to be a little diplomatic when you talk to doctors about vitamin D because they're not used to dosing as high as we in the field of nutritional medicine are. We're more comfortable with the higher doses because we've seen that they're not toxic. But, the old school doctors were taught that vitamin D can be very, very dangerous. You know, careful, you can't give more than 400 international units. Oh, my goodness, you can overdose. And we've learned over the years that that's not the case. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, 877-726-8255 is our number for Intelligent Medicine. Great calls.
Decades ago, Dr. O'Hara developed a formula for optimal human health, a blend of superfoods and live bacteria, naturally fermented for 3 years, encapsulated to deliver prebiotics, probiotics, and most importantly, postbiotics to your digestive system, aiding digestion, increasing absorption of essential nutrients, supporting the immune system, and unleashing the healthier, happier you. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics, 100% vegetarian, non-GMO, free of artificial additives, chemicals, preservatives, or colorings, dairy and gluten-free. Dr. O'Hara himself proclaimed in 1974, each capsule of Dr. O'Hara's probiotics is filled with our passion and hope for bringing health and long life to all 7 billion people on Earth. And today, his legacy lives on, making Dr. O'Hara's probiotics a world leader in superior probiotics. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, available online and at natural health retailers nationwide.
Everyone's raving about the newest botanical superstar hitting the store shelves nationwide. Hemp-derived cannabidiol, or CBD, has been receiving a lot of attention for its tremendous promise on human health. Plus, CBD oil by CV Sciences is the trusted brand setting the standards in this newly emerging category of plant-based extracts, offering a variety of hemp-derived CBD oil products that you can count on. In order to make the highest quality CBD oil products available, it is important to manage every step of the supply chain process, from seed to shelf. That's why, from harvesting our EU-certified hemp seeds, to laboratory testing for quality and safety, to producing our exceptional line of products, we are committed to going the extra mile. It is our commitment to you. Join the CBD evolution. Ask your local natural health retailer about Plus CBD oil products by CV Sciences today. Follow us on Facebook and learn more at pluscbdoil.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here, 877-726-8255 is our number. And let's talk about physician burnout. Big problem because we're losing a lot of doctors. A lot of doctors are retiring. Doctors are sometimes becoming incapacitated because they're depressed or they're taking drugs or they're alcoholic. There's even a high rate of suicide among doctors. And according to a new study, physician burnout is widespread, especially among those in mid-career. There's an interesting pattern on this. It seems to affect Gen X physicians more than older or younger doctors. Physicians between the ages of 40 and 54 experience a higher rate of burnout than older or younger doctors. I'm home free because I'm a baby boomer doctor. Nearly half of Gen X physicians who were surveyed said they felt burned out, compared with 39% of baby boomer doctors. I'm home free. Those are doctors aged 55 to 73. And just 38% of millennials ages 25 to 39. And of interest is that roughly half of all the doctors surveyed said that they would be willing to take a substantial pay cut to achieve what is termed work-life balance. And, you know, it used to be like a badge of courage, you know, like how many hours could you log, you know, how hard could you work? But now more and more doctors are opting for less engaged medical careers to allow them some time for personal fulfillment and healthier lifestyle, you know, more sleep, you know, better nutrition, more time with family and friends, vacation time. They want to work, you know, like a regular work week, like the rest of the workforce, you know, like 40-hour weeks instead of, 60, 70-hour weeks. And part of it is due to something called EHRs. I have here an article about electronic health records, a new survey that says that physician time spent using the electronic health record during outpatient encounters. Okay, that pertains to the usual office visit, right? So what amount of time do you think is spent during the usual office visit on filling out the electronic health record? Now, keep in mind, the usual office visit, at best, it can last, 18, 20, 22 minutes. And that's not a lot of time to, establish rapport, get the story, make a lot of medical decisions, because doctors are seeing sometimes 30, 40 patients a day. So according to the study of 155,000 U.S. physicians engaged in outpatient care, check it out. Physicians spend an average of 16 minutes and 14 seconds per encounter using an electronic health record. That involved chart review, documentation, and ordering functions, all happening on a computer while not looking the patient in the eye or talking directly to the patient. That, in part, is what is causing a lot of this physician burnout, is the transition to electronic health records, records that are very, very time-consuming and divert doctors from questioning patients, talking to them directly, decision-making, and establishing rapport. It's a real toll on the practice of medicine. No wonder so many doctors are feeling burnout and patients are feeling dissatisfied. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 877-726-8255 is our number. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, you know that fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, that support your cardiovascular, brain, nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. My preferred fish oil brand is Carlson. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to store. They source only the highest quality deep cold water fish using traditional sustainable methods. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity. I use Carlson myself, recommend it to my patients, and I've included Carlson in the Intelligent Medicine Protocol Starter Kit, available on my website, drhoffman.com. Carlson award-winning omega-3 nutritional supplements are available in soft gels and liquid form for those who have trouble swallowing pills. For more information, go to www.carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. 877-726-8255 is our number. We got so many live calls today that we have given short shrift to the recorded calls. You call that same number off hours, Monday through Friday, 24/7, and you can record a question, as did this caller. Let's feel that.
Hello. I would like to know if taking biotin has an effect when you take a blood test to deviate some of the results. They say that it changes some of the answers that you're supposed to get when you take a blood test.
And thank you for that question. It's a very interesting question, and something that we want to alert our audience to, is that biotin has the potential to mess up the results of some blood tests. Now, I have to say, you know, I do a lot of blood tests, and I have a lot of patients taking lots of biotin, and I've never seen this, but it can happen. You know, just to give you an idea, daily dietary biotin is around 35 to 70 micrograms per day. But it's not uncommon to see people taking 2,000 or 5,000 micrograms, which is many times the average daily intake. For, you know, problems like hair health, skin health, nail health, biotin helps nails. But now there's some information that very high dose biotin, you know, like 100,000, micrograms per day, can help in MS. That's kind of controversial because the bloom is a little off the rose on that proposition. It seemed very promising a couple of years ago, but lately some of the studies have not been that positive on the high-dose biotin for MS. But if you take an astronomical dose of biotin, you can screw up some important tests. Most dangerous is what's called the troponin test, which is you check in, you know, with chest pressure and tingling down your arm and breathlessness, and they want to rule out an MI. They want to make sure you're not having a heart attack with a blood test called troponin, and you can get a false negative on the troponin. That has happened. It's been reported in a few cases in people who take the very high-dose biotin. That's one of the more dangerous potential problems associated with biotin. On the other hand, other tests like thyroid tests can be biased in favor of a diagnosis of hyperthyroidism. You can get a false elevation in your thyroid results when you take very high dose biotin. I haven't seen it, and I have a lot of patients who take pretty high dose biotin. And sometimes when I see a little wackadoodle result on their thyroid test, I say, you know, let's repeat it when you're not taking the biotin. I don't really see much of a difference. So I'm not seeing this happen with doses like, 1,000, 2,000, 5,000. Maybe it's possible. You know, maybe a clinician can call in or, you know, record a, you know, response here and tell us that they're seeing that a lot. I'm not seeing it a lot. But maybe in people who take, you know, the massive doses that are sometimes used for MS, maybe it will affect those tests as well. Other tests can be affected potentially, like estrogen tests, sex hormone binding tests, luteinizing hormone, follicle stimulating hormone, testosterone, cortisol, folate, B12, and ferritin testing can be affected by those. But again, I have not seen that as a clinical problem. And if you've taken a multi or a B complex that has a little bit of biotin in it, I don't think you're going to see that problem. I just don't think it's a realistic concern for those taking moderate amounts of biotin. And by the way, biotin, very, very safe in terms of, you know, adverse health effects, even when you take fairly high doses. I mean, unlike some vitamins, like, yes, you can overdose on vitamin A and vitamin D, and niacin can mess up your liver at very high doses and give you flushing. Not so much with biotin. Biotin seems to be very well tolerated, even at doses much higher than the RDA. Great question. Thank you for that. And let's segue to a concern that a lot of people have. It's fatigue. If you're suffering from frequent fatigue, well, let me tell you about the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, or illness, or just being run down. It's NT Factor from Nutritional Therapeutics. It works on the mitochondria, and NT Factor has been shown in clinical trials to reduce fatigue by almost half. It's available in ProPax, which is your one-stop shop for all your vitamin mineral needs. But some people say, I like my multi and or fish oil. And that's what, you know, ProPax offers in addition to NT Factor. So we've made available a form of NT Factor called Healthy Aging, which is the perfect accompaniment to whatever supplement regimen you're already taking. Provides you with a unique energy support of pure NT Factor and a potent delivery system. I don't go a day without taking my NT Factor. And now with a 45-day money-back guarantee, you've got nothing to lose. Please note that even though they're no longer shipping to Vitamin Shop, you can still find ProPax and Healthy Aging at your favorite health food store or online retailer, or you can order direct. Just use this number, 800-982-9158. 800-982-9158, or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com. All right. Let's take a look at this study, because it confirms something that I've seen quite a lot. If you've got a kid who's been diagnosed with attention deficit disorder, or if he's in a regardless of the diagnosis, you got a kid who's fidgety, full of energy, rambunctious, you know, got ants in their pants, and that affects their school performance. They're getting, you know, intimations that maybe you got to take the kid, get some Ritalin, Adderall, whatever. You know, school officials sometimes prompt that, guidance counselors and so on. Yeah, you want to get into, you know, Ivy League school, put your kid on these medications. Here's an article on non-pharmacological interventions for cognitive difficulties in ADHD. It's a fancy way of saying if your kid isn't performing well because they're hyperactive, are there non-drug interventions that could make a difference? It is a systematic review and meta-analysis, which means they looked at a lot of studies. And, you know, they went through, you know, a variety of interventions, psychological interventions, nutritional interventions, and the most robust response to non-pharmacological interventions occurred via exercise. Yeah. If you got a kid who just can't sit still, can't focus, get him involved in physical exercise. And they say especially ball sports, which involve eye-hand coordination, but also discipline, martial arts, and physical exercise that involve flexibility and inhibition of impulsive behaviors. These should be, according to this article, incorporated into an ADHD treatment program that's comprehensive. And I don't care if the kid's on meds, okay, fine. But don't let it just stop at taking a pill. Get your kid involved in some kind of sports activity that they enjoy, that they can do consistently, and you will reap dividends in terms of overall attention. You know, Michael Phelps, poster boy for that proposition, is he just was doing horribly in school, couldn't, you know, sit still. Mother encouraged him to undertake a swimming program. And the next thing you know, we got, you know, a Olympian, with, multiple gold medals and, really put his life on track, due to his commitment to physical exercise. That's what I mean. And it, for many, friends and acquaintances, family members, I've seen it work. It's really the way to go for kids. And, you know, not that other kids shouldn't have regular athletic opportunities, but especially kids who have hyperactive tendencies. It can turn things around big time. All right. This item kind of goes to the proposition, is it too late to undertake weight loss efforts later in life, does it make a difference in terms of your risk for, say, breast cancer? You know, you carry an extra pounds, perhaps you've got a family history, and you're concerned about the risk of breast cancer if you're a woman. Losing weight after age 50 may lower breast cancer risk. They say the risk reduction is linear. That means the more weight you lose, the less your risk. And it was specific to women not using postmenopausal hormones. So the hormones seem to interfere with the weight loss benefits. And they say few studies have assessed if the increased breast cancer risk from excess body weight is reversible. You know, we know that excess body weight is associated with breast cancer. Not that women who are, you know, normal weight or skinny don't get breast cancer, but statistically, overweight women have a higher risk of breast cancer. Well, the more weight women were able to lose, even after the age of 50, the lower their risk of breast cancer. The research has found that a woman who lost 4.5 to 9 kilograms, that 10 to 20 pounds, had a 16% lower risk of breast cancer. That risk reduction increased to 20% for women who lost 20-plus pounds. And, moreover, not all was lost when the pounds crept back. Compared with, so, you know, and that often happens, you know, people yo-yo, you know, resolve decreases, or with the process of aging, you know, the weight, the pounds creep back on. Compared with women whose weight remained stable, women who lost 10 kilograms or more and regained some, but not all of the weight back, still had a lower risk of breast cancer. So, you know, you should be to get another incentive, you know, don't give up the ghost on weight loss if you're a woman over 50. 877-726-8255 is our number for Intelligent Medicine. Are you looking to give your immune system a boost? This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with a natural solution from Future Farm Botanicals, liquid wild oil of oregano with rosemary extract and natural honey flavor. Future Farm's wild oil of oregano supports a variety of health benefits, including antimicrobial effects, as well as supporting the immune system. Plus, Future Farm is the first ever to formulate wild oil of oregano with rosemary. Rosemary aids circulation, helps alleviate muscle pain, improves memory, and also gives your immune system a boost. The natural honey flavor enhances the taste while still giving you all of the benefits. Future Farm sources this product from the Mediterranean and produces it in the United States. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Wild oil of oregano is all natural, science-based, and works without adverse side effects. MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As I continue to look for more ways to fulfill my pledge to provide the information you need to make informed choices about your health and wellness, I've developed a simple way for you to access curated supplement protocols previously available only to patients in my private practice. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com. You'll find easy-to-follow links to not only the best individual products, but also to my brand-new Intelligent Medicine Lifestyle Supplement Protocols that combine the products I recommend to achieve your specific goals, heart health, immunity support, and much more. We provide only the highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere. It's the easiest way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need in order to follow the Intelligent Medicine Lifestyle. And for a limited time, you'll also receive 10% off and free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details on each of the protocols and to take advantage of these special offers, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine, Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. And let's do a little bit of a lightning round of some of the important stories of this week. Proof positive that sugar, you think you're addicted to sugar, and people, yeah, you know, don't exaggerate. I mean, addiction is bad. I mean, there's heroin addiction. There's, you know, people addicted to opiates, oxycodone, and fentanyl. But don't be too melodramatic about the fact that you like sugar. You're not really addicted. But a new study suggests that sugar alters brain chemistry after only 12 days in a way that is highly reminiscent of addictive drugs. The research is done in pigs. I guess it was thought unethical to give people that much sugar. But, you know, certain experiments, they say, well, you know, knock yourself out. Here's some M&Ms. But in this research in pigs, fortunately, they didn't have to kill the pigs. They did imaging studies of the pigs' brains. And they imaged their brains before and after they gave the pigs unrestricted access to sugar. And one thing that pigs and humans have in common, they eat like pigs. Pigs given unlimited access to sugar will binge on the sugar. And so they're an ideal experimental animal for studying the effects on the brain of high sugar intake. And the researchers concluded, after doing PET scans pre and post on the pig's brains, that after just 12 days of sugar intake, we could see major changes in the brain's dopamine and opioid systems. And they said, in fact, the opioid system, which is the pleasure-seeking part of the brain, it's part of the brain's chemistry that is associated with well-being and pleasure, was already activated after the very first intake. So right away, there were immediate changes, followed by alterations in the striatum, the nucleus accumbens, the thalamus, the amygdala, the cingulate cortex, and prefrontal cortex after the sugar intake. And that just powerfully reinforces the drive for sugar acquisition. They say that foods high in sucrose influence brain reward circuitry in ways similar to those observed when addictive drugs are consumed. So, you know, it's not going to be long off that we're going to, I predict this. I've been saying this for a while, and it's going to happen sooner or later. We've had tobacco litigation. Ultimately, tobacco manufacturers saying, no, there's no tobacco. No. What are you kidding? Tobacco doesn't cause cancer. Tobacco doesn't cause heart disease. Okay. We learned subsequently that they were burying research that suggested the harmful effects of smoking. Same thing is going to happen when it comes to sugar manufacturers, manufacturers of tasty treats. When you have proof positive that sugar is an addictive substance and big food is purveying sugar in so many different forms, not just to adults, but to kids, they're getting us hooked. And you can bet your bottom dollar that there's going to be some tobacco-style litigation directed against the food industry. And they're aware of it. They're trying to get ahead of it by offering smaller portions, by offering sugar-free beverages. They're diversifying, and they're circling the wagons because it's coming down the pike for them. This item, dietary antioxidants and depression in women. Interesting study suggesting that levels of dietary antioxidants are associated with mood and well-being. 41 women between the ages of 50 and 69 participated in the study. Their levels of depression were assessed with a common instrument, the Beck Depression Inventory, and then the diet was assessed. What they found was that polyphenols were associated with protection from depression. What are polyphenols? Well, you find them in tea, coffee, fresh fruits and vegetables. And of interest in the study is that coffee was the most frequently consumed polyphenol-rich food. So you get caffeine, which, you know, may be a natural antidepressant. A lot of people, you know, feel better when they consume caffeine. But also the polyphenols, the pigmented substances that you find in coffee, whether it's regular coffee or decaf coffee, they also have brain protective effects. And the results suggest that increased antioxidant consumption may ease depressive symptoms. It's pretty amazing. All right. Chocolate, by the way, major source of dietary polyphenols. Chocolate makes you feel good as well. All right. Thanks very much for joining us. Thank you for all the wonderful phone calls today. 877-726-8255 is our number. You can record questions even when we're off the air 24/7. Check out our website at drhoffman.com. Download our podcast. We just surpassed the 7 million milestone in terms of podcast downloads. So be part of that. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter and subscribe to our newsletter. Become a more informed listener to Intelligent Medicine. Have yourselves a great weekend. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman.